Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and following. Today's message is titled, Lepers 1 and All. Lepers 1 and All. In verse 40, if you'll read with me there, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Again, the title of the message, Lepers 1 and All. Verse 40, A, just a three First three words, now a leper. That is the first point. Now a leper. Committed to the diagnosis. Now a leper. This leper knew he was a leper. This leper was fully conscious that he was a leper. This leper had no illusion that he was healthy. This leper had no false concept of being fit and free of disease. This leper was committed to his diagnosis. Thus, he could seek healing. Thus, he could seek the remedy, the cure for his disease. And you and I, and all of mankind, must get committed to the diagnosis. Lepers 1 and all. If you know anything of leprosy, you know that it is, one, a bacteria, and two, that it starts slow. A brief history of leprosy. Leprosy has tormented humanity throughout recorded history. The earliest possible account of this disease that many scholars believe to be leprosy appears in Egyptian papyrus around 1550 BC. Around 600 BC, Indian writings describe a disease that resembles leprosy. In Europe, leprosy first appeared in the records of ancient Greece after the army of Alexander the Great came back from India, and then in Rome in 62 BC, coinciding with the return of Pompey's troops from Asia Minor. Leprosy is a horrific disease that has tormented mankind since history began to be recorded. As I said, it is a chronic bacterial disease. It is still prevalent in the world today, with 182,000 people being diagnosed with it in 2012, 219,000 cases in 2011 and 2013. The numbers are still out. Now, I might comfort you with the knowledge that only 200 cases were found in the United States, and mostly in the southern states, and mostly in those who came from South America into our southern states. The bacteria grows very, very slowly. The incubation period is usually many years, sometimes even up to 20 years. The symptoms start rather mild with numbness and such. It's the bacteria likes cool places. So it likes fingers and toes and cheeks and foreheads and noses. And perhaps you've seen some of the pictures of the tormented noses. Often the effects you see are not the disease itself, but the results of the disease with that numbness. They injure themselves, and then infection sets in, and then the infection rots at the flesh. And it's a terrible disease that results in terrible disfigurement if it is not treated. These lumps and oozing sores, again, on the face, the hands. Often, the leper colonies you might be familiar with, the leper colonies where these folks are sent in third world nations, they are not cared for, their wounds are not cared for, flies buzz about, maggots are a reality. It is truly horrific. And mankind has suffered with this for ages, long before there was any remedy, long before there was any medication. Leprosy today, praise God, there is a cure. There's a cure. There's a triple medication. They call it a multi-drug treatment, MDT, three different drugs combined that ultimately can eradicate this bacteria, can rescue you, can save you from the horror of leprosy. You see the pink flesh, the pink spot that is numb and the numbness of the extremities and such. Don't fear going to the doctor and have this horror that you might have contracted leprosy somehow from a trip to Mexico. It is entirely treatable. Further good news, within a day, most studies agree, within a day of receiving the MDT, this multi-drug treatment, you are no longer communicable. And so leprosy, being the horrific disease that it is, and you've all seen the pictures, I'm sure, most of you have, of the tormented and disfigured faces and hands and feet and lumps all about the body and oozing sores, it is ugly and terrible. And yet, praise God, it is treatable. There is a miracle cure that came about in recent history, as recent as 1981, I believe it was, that they perfected it. The World Health Organization has determined to eliminate leprosy from the world. That is a radical goal, but a reasonable goal in light of the fact that we have a cure, a certain absolute cure from a hellish disease, a disease that ostracizes you, a disease that necessarily ostracizes you, for it is communicable. And anyone to look upon you to determine easily once the disease has taken hold, to determine, oh, that's leprosy. I mean, even just the name sends you the other way, which is why in many circles they have sought to change the name because there's such a negative stigma associated with the term leper and leprosy. They have renamed it after another doctor by the name of Hansen, which I'm sure is not a great blessing to anyone of the name of Hansen, unless they see it rightly, that this doctor has been a tremendous blessing to a group of people that have suffered physically and socially, being outcast because of this horrific disease coming from this terrible, terrible bacteria. All of this is a result of a fallen world, a world that is sin-affected, a world which sin dwells in, perverting God's good and perfect creation. Leprosy is not part of God's good creation. It is part of the fall. It's part of what mankind brought in with sin. It's part of the curse due to sin. I am blessed by the grace of God to send a cure, because it is the grace of God. It's not the magnificence of man. It's the grace of God to allow a true cure to leprosy. I'm blessed to see it as that and to thank God for that. This radical goal of rescuing lepers from leprosy and from their isolation and their suffering should remind us of the radical goal of the gospel, to see all sinners saved from the hellish condition called sin, iniquity, and the resulting death that is eternal under God's wrath forever, to be outcast from the grace and mercy and love of God forever, to be outcast from the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the city of God, forever. to be in the leper's colony, if you will, of eternal condemnation in hell. A hell that the Lord Jesus described as a place where the worm does not die. The worm, like in the rotting flesh. Truly horrific, and yet just upon our sin. We must first get committed to the diagnosis, or we can get no cure. If a man does not think himself a leper, he'll not think, I should go to the doctor to get the MDT, right? The multi-drug therapy. But if you see the certain signs of leprosy upon someone you love, you're going to be compelled to say, my dear friend, my dear father, my dear mother, sister, brother, co-worker, perfect stranger walking down the street. Ah! Right? That is leprosy. The problem is, this is a great stigma with leprosy. It's offensive. Try it. Go up to a perfect stranger and cry out, ah! You have leprosy! And see how that goes. See how that works out. They will very likely, almost certainly, be highly offended and flee from you. Think you're deranged. Only if truly they had leprosy, and truly you were a doctor, and truly you had the cure, and truly perhaps the WHO, right, the World Health Organization, had sent you, then you would be unto them a savior. You would be unto them their very best friend, the lover of their soul and their precious life. And yet there's such a horrific stigma with leprosy, and it's such a horrible disease. It's offensive to be diagnosed with it. And thus, that's why many are not. And many suffer far too long. And many go well into advanced stages of leprosy before they get care. And that's part of the mission of the WHO, is to diagnose early. The WHO, the World Health Organization, is to diagnose early. Because once the damage is done, once the disease, once the bacteria eats away your nerves, they don't come back. It's not reversible. And yet it's entirely curable. It can be stopped right where it's at and be done. But you must get committed to the diagnosis. And so part of the World Health Organization's mission is to get committed to diagnosing. It's not enough to have the cure. They must find out who has the disease. And then the people who have the disease must be willing to admit they have the disease in order to get the cure. And the stigma is so strong that they've even changed the name of the disease to try to remove the stigma. It's Hansen's. It's not leprosy. It's Hansen's disease, which is similar to what much of the church is doing today, trying to remove the stigma of sin, iniquity, and the resulting death and judgment that it brings. We don't call it sin anymore. We call it being unchurched. We don't call it being unsaved anymore. We call it being pre-churched. Truly. A change in terminology. And yet, if you go around and warn people that you are pre-churched, I think, well, maybe not running away from you like you're a madman, they just think you're a goofy man. Well, you're right, I am pre-churched, and I don't want to be it. I don't want to be churched. The world isn't pre-churched, they're unsaved. The world doesn't have a problem with being outside of church. They have a problem with being outside of the grace and mercy and love of God. They have a problem being dead in sin and trespass. These are the biblical realities. And unless we get committed to the diagnosis, there is no cure. Now, a leper. Seems pretty straightforward, but he was committed to the diagnosis. I'm sure it was rather advanced. I'm sure it was rather obvious. They didn't have the ability to detect it like we have through drawing blood and looking under a microscope or taking a sample of the pink flesh early on in the disease and checking it out under a microscope and looking for this little red rod-like bacteria that's going to ruin your life and slowly take it and an ugly, horrific, painful death. They didn't have that ability. And so I'm quite sure it was very evident that he was a leper. And being a leper in Israel, under the law like Leviticus 13, 1 through 8, that says the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when a man has on his skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the sore, the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore is turned white, and that's part of it, is the hair and these lesions, it turns white and then even goes away. I saw a precious little girl's face just this morning, and her eyebrows were gone because leprosy attacks the externals, it attacks cool places. And it had taken away her eyebrows, totally preventable and totally stoppable and curable, but it must be diagnosed. Anyhow, if the hair on the sore is turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white in the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days, then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and if indeed the sore is faded, the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab is indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. The last three words of Leviticus 13:8, it is leprosy. A three-word sentence, a diagnosis. A horrific, radically life-altering diagnosis, meaning your life is going to end one day at a time, terribly and painfully. Your social life has just ended. You now are necessarily an outcast in order to protect the rest of society. And eventually your life will end after much suffering. What a diagnosis. What a day. Can you imagine waiting those 7 days, hoping and praying that that sore would heal, only to find that it didn't? And waiting another 7 days, hoping and praying that that sore would dry up and heal and not advance any further? And yet to your horror, you wake up and sure enough, it is advanced. The hair that was once dark has turned light. And the priest has to announce in order to protect the whole from this horror, the priest has to announce these three words, it is leprosy. That's the law of God, to protect Israel from the horrifying disease of leprosy. Leviticus 13:45 says, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. His clothes are to be torn so that from a distance you can identify, ah, that is a leper. His head bare so you can identify a leper. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He's to cover his nose. You know why? Because this disease is communicable like a common cold. A leper sneezes, the bacteria just went into the air. It lands in those tiny little droplets someplace. It can live up to a few days. You come by, touch it, wipe your nose, you now are a leper. Thus, they're to cover their mustache. Thus, they're to identify themselves through ripped clothing. Thus, they're to cry out, unclean, unclean. I know. Some of you germaphobes are going to suffer because of this message. I'm actually thankful my wife is not here this morning. It is utterly and entirely curable. One day after beginning the MDT, you are no longer communicable. The disease is stopped immediately when you begin treatment. That's the grace of God in our new era of medicine. That is one victory of science and medicine that I am very thankful for. I mean, just go look at a few pictures and give God praise for His mercy to give us this cure. The leper rips his clothes. The leper has a bare head. The leper covers his mustache. The leper cries, unclean, unclean, because God commands it so out of love for the whole. And then verse 46 of Leviticus 13, he shall be unclean all the days. He has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. He's outside of the social construct of Israel, outside of the community, outside of his family. If he's married, outside of that marital relationship. If he's a father, away from his children. If he's a son, away from his mother and father, or a precious daughter, like that little girl I just looked at this morning without her eyebrows. That's the horror of leprosy. That's the danger of leprosy. That's what is necessary to protect the family, to protect the community in ancient Israel under the law of God. Committed to the diagnosis. This man who came unto Jesus was a leper. He knew he was a leper. He no doubt was alone as a leper. He no doubt had torn clothing as a leper, an uncovered head and a covered mustache as a leper, so that he would not be communicable. And he should have been crying out, unclean, unclean. He knew what he was, and everyone else knew what he was. And if he wasn't crying out, unclean, unclean, and going the other way that he might be alone, others would cry out, unclean and unclean, and no doubt run away. Dear friends, this leper is a picture of all of us. We are lepers. We have a terrible ailment, an ailment that, if left untreated, gets worse and worse and worse, and at last takes our lives. The wages of sin is death. You and I ultimately will die because of the wages of sin. It's part of the curse. And yet if we die as spiritual lepers, death does not end our existence. It just translates our existence. We just go into eternal death under God's wrath. Look to Romans 3, 9 through 20. That's God's diagnosis of spiritual leprosy upon you and I. Romans 3, 9 through 20. Unless we get committed to this diagnosis, there's no hope for us. We will forever be spiritual lepers outside of God's grace, His mercy and love. And even though you might be inside of the church of Jesus Christ today, you're actually outside the church, because the church isn't a building. It's a spiritual body, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made white as snow. It's a spiritual body, born again from above. It is the ecclesia, the called out ones, called out of sin and death, called unto God. Romans 3, 9 through 20 exposes, like a doctor would come into the room. Any of you had a checkup? You're sitting there on the table, your legs swinging, right? Don't you feel like a kid on there? I hate it. Legs swinging in the air. Worse yet, they might have given you one of those robes. If you're like me, you don't want to put it on.
If you're like me, on occasion, you just don't.
You don't see why. There's no good reason to put on a silly robe. Not going to do it. Keep my britches, thank you. So here you are, you're sitting there on the paper, crinkle, crinkle. Nervous sweat running down your back. And the doctor comes in. And here's the diagnosis, Romans 3, 9 through 20. What then? Are we any better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. The doctor said, what? We're all under sin. Well, that's somewhat comforting. We all suffer this ailment. We're all in it together. At least, you know, the doctor is able to identify with you, right? Have some sympathy or empathy. We're no better. We're all under sin. We're all spiritual lepers. But before you get too comfortable, let's see how that's described. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And you think, wait, I've done some righteous things. No, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not left to ourselves, not in and of ourselves. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, but I understand some things. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Oh, but I do. No, not by yourself you don't. Only by the grace of God will there be any true righteousness. Only by the grace of God will there be any true understanding of God. Only by the grace of God, the active grace of God, will we seek after God genuinely. Verse 12, they have all turned aside. They have turned aside, turned away from God, going toward destruction, going toward the final leper colony called hell. They have together become unprofitable. You arrive in at the leper colony and you recognize we're all spiritual lepers, and you start to put some ointment on there. You try this ointment to no avail. You try that ointment. And just so you know, that's sadly what often happens in these third world countries. You know, they treat it like psoriasis or something. It will do nothing. There's no cure in a cream. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Their throat is an open tomb. Think about leprosy. Think about Leviticus, cover your mustache, communicable disease through a sneeze or saliva. Their throat is an open tomb. Think about the horrific pictures you've seen of the rotting flesh, rotting lips, rotting tongue, rotting chin and foreheads and ears. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Think about this. The longer our spiritual leprosy goes uncured, the worse this mouth gets. These symptoms of a mouth full of cursing and bitterness. You ever meet old sinners, old men, old women with advanced cases of leprosy? They may not have oozing sores and disfigurements and missing noses and toes and fingers, but they might as well have, for their behavior and their deportment is very repulsive, very sad. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. They're violent. My daughters had occasion to work in a nursing home environment, and those who do not know the Lord, who get old, become old perverts. Old female perverts and old male perverts. They become hateful, old hateful men and old hateful women, and they become even murderous. Danger to themselves and others. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, in the way of peace. They have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the spiritual diagnosis of our universal disease, our spiritual leprosy, sin. No fear of God before their eyes. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. They have none. We have none, except by the grace of God. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Now think of Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13 was the specific law designed to protect Israel from leprosy, to expose the leprosy, the physical leprosy. The priest's job was to observe and to determine whether or not this was leprosy in order to protect the society as a whole. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law. Now we're talking not physical leprosy, but spiritual leprosy, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, Romans 3:19. That every mouth saying, I'm not a leper. How many lepers do you think, physically speaking, in Leviticus 13, as they had to go and suffer being diagnosed, how many of them do you think were saying, I'm a leper, I know it is leprosy, go ahead and, you know, kick me out and I'll go my way. And how many were pleading and saying, you know, oh, it's not leprosy, I assure you, even though there can be no assurances. It is our nature to deny the disease. It is our nature to deny our condition. It is our nature to be even offended. How many of those who had this pronounced, remember Leviticus 13:8? It is leprosy. How many of them do you think were thankful for that pronouncement? Oh, thank you, my dear priest. Thank you. Spiritually speaking, we are lepers. And yet we do not want to be pronounced lepers. Spiritually speaking, we're dead and sin and trespass, and we do not want to be pronounced dead. Spiritually speaking, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Spiritually speaking, we have no righteousness. We have no good deeds. We've all gone astray. We haven't come back. Our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. I'm not a leper. I'm a good person. That white spot, that's it's fine. That thing on my forehead, I'll just wear a hat. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Not pleasant, but absolutely necessary. In order that we would learn the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, that we would be properly diagnosed. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is given to make us wise, that we might seek the cure. The law of the Lord is given in order that we might submit to the biblical diagnosis of our leprous sin. And stop being self-justifiers. Our mouths must be stopped. Oh, but look at my good deeds. Look at my basic goodness. I'm innately good. Look at my religious deeds. Look at my charitable deeds. My mom thinks I'm a good guy. That is a bad, bad assessment generally. Mothers are sweet. God's word is true. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. We cannot cure our leprosy by the deeds of the law. We cannot cure our leprosy by trying better to keep the Ten Commandments. We cannot cure our leprosy by trying better to, you know, attend daily sacrifice or the Day of Atonement annually at the temple or any kind of sacraments in the common era, the sacraments of a Roman Catholic church or even just being a good evangelical. You know, I'll try to attend church and I'll lift my hands when they praise God and my sins will be cleansed. No. Or maybe just, you know, curing leprosy through being a nice guy. Just be nice, like the bumper sticker says, right? Be nice. None of this will cure you. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You know, the greatest commandment, love God all your heart, mind, and soul, and you haven't, and you never will this side of heaven. You cannot cure your leprosy, and that's the greatest evidence of your leprosy. You don't love the God who gave you life and breath with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Secondly, love your neighbor as yourself, and your closest neighbors are usually the ones we sin against most. The ones we love, right? The ones we write in cards, love you. We sin against even those. It shows us who we are. Even when we would want to not act like a leper, we're oozing stuff on the people we love, right? We're sneezing leprosy all over them. And we love them. We give birth to little lepers. And we teach them how to be lepers by living like lepers in front of them. I mean, this stuff is in us. Do you know what happens if it's untreated? It begins to eat all your cartilage. That's why you see missing noses and toes, fingers, and worse sometimes. It begins to eat you away. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. That's like, you know, showing up at a leper colony with a little ointment and thinking you're going to do something for them. Or you look in the mirror and you see your missing nose and you put a little ointment on there and put on a happy smile, only you have no lips. Well, that's horrible. That's sin. That's sin. And that's how we look in the eyes of God. We have been diagnosed that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Oh, we don't want to be guilty, but you must come to see yourself as guilty. You must come to see yourself as a spiritual leper, or you cannot get the cure. You must hear it is leprosy and submit unto it and say, yes, Lord, I know. Only it's worse than Leviticus 13 because we revel in our leprosy. Yes, it's a condition we inherited from Adam and Eve and mom and dad, whoever they were. But you can't blame them because they didn't have to teach you to be a leper. They didn't have to teach you to sneeze on others your leprous, foul disease. From the earliest of ages, children are trying to murder themselves in the church nursery or murder others. If the rage in a 2-year-old had the strength of a 20-year-old behind it, every 2-year-old would be a murderer. Mom and dad wouldn't make it. Their siblings wouldn't make it. That sin is within us. Lies. It is amazing. Because the wonderful thing is they're not super smart when they're young, but they are liars. So at first you can catch them in their lies. And then if you treat the condition with some discipline, and then at last the condition is treated by grace through faith in Christ, they'll be liars no more. But left untreated, this leprosy grows and grows and takes over. If you put a little ointment on the little leper, before you know it, there'll be no eyebrows, no ears, no nose. But you'll keep smiling because this is your little leper, right? And you'll introduce him or her proudly, and you'll talk about all their achievements in the world and where they're going to go to school or went to school or where they're working or whatever. And yet they have leprosy and they're spreading leprosy and they're going to give leprosy to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. They're dying in their sin. And they're spreading their sin to others. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. The deeds of the law are all just like a little ointment. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin, the knowledge of our condition, committed to the diagnosis. The law reveals our sin. We must get committed to the diagnosis. Committed to the cure, second point. I trust we've spent enough time in the diagnosis. It's painful. But unless we commit ourselves to our condition. We will never submit to the cure. We will never desire the cure. We'll just think those who offer the cure are madmen. Or they are particularly bad men. Maybe that's good for you. It's good for you. But I'm a basically good and healthy human being. I have no leprosy, physical, spiritual, or otherwise. Don't you know? Or maybe we just get comfortable with leprosy. Do you know how hip it is now to have herpes? I mean, apparently, it's cool. It's fine. All the young folks have it. Spreading it around at will. And they've got drugs to suppress it, but why? It's no big deal anymore. Committed to the cure. You must get committed to the diagnosis in order to get committed to the cure. This leper knew he was a leper. He had no doubt that he was a leper. He was suffering from leprosy horribly and horrifically, physically, socially, and otherwise. And he comes to Jesus. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Getting committed to the cure. Once you realize what you have, once you realize you are a Romans 3, 9 through 20 critter, once you realize you're in Ephesians 2, dead in sin and trespass critter, once you realize that you are a diseased leper, you get real excited about and committed to the cure. And you hear there's an MDT, a multi-drug therapy. Whew. Whoa! Yeah, I just had a little euphoric rush, and I'm just talking about it. I don't have leprosy, but I'm just imagining, and maybe I've been looking at too many pictures these last few days leading up to this message, but let me tell you, there's a little euphoric rush going in my blood. Because that's exciting. Going from certain horrible death, stigma, ostracism, to an instant cure. That's exciting. Life over to a hiccup, ultimately. Oh, we can take care of that. We can arrest all the symptoms. We can stop any advancement. And within really a fairly short period of time, it'll just be gone. It'll be a thing of the past. You'll have leprosy no more. Committed to the cure, now a leper came to him because he knew what he was. He came to Jesus. Hear me, your friends and brothers, sisters and mothers, strangers in the world, they must come as lepers to God. They must be diagnosed and they must submit to the diagnosis. You are a leper. It is leprosy. Leviticus 13:8. If you won't love them enough to diagnose them, from knee-high to a grasshopper to a breath from the grave, if you won't love them enough to diagnose them, then it's just apathetic hatred. You know they're lepers. Love them. Love them. Plead for their souls. You know they won't want to hear that they're lepers. Love them. Plead for their souls. Speak the truth with love. Bring the word of God to bear upon them that it might make them wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This leper knew he was a leper and he came to Jesus imploring him. When we do our job of applying the word of God in order that folks would recognize and realize their disease and the death of it. They come to Jesus. They implore Jesus. They kneel down to Jesus. The parallel gospels say that he threw himself on his face. They kneel down to Jesus. Are you kidding me? If I had leprosy truly, in my flesh, and there was a doctor offering me freely, which, by the way, the WHO, the World Health Organization, they have made the cure free. Because where is the drug most rampant? In third world nations. They have made the cure free.
I'd be on my knees before that doctor. I would be rejoicing. Bless you. Thank you. What can I do for you? Anything. Anything at all. They come to him, implore him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, once the diagnosis is certain, once the diagnosis is submitted to, once they get committed to the diagnosis, getting committed to the cure, well, that only makes sense. They come to him. He comes to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Committed to the cure. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express or whatever hotel that is that gives you the right and ability to act like a doctor or some kind of professional in one field or another, according to the commercials. And yet, most of you probably believed me when I said there was a cure to leprosy, known as MDT. Even if before today you had no knowledge of there being an absolute certain cure to leprosy. And now that I'm saying it like this, some of you are probably wondering, was he deceiving me? And there is no cure, and I'm sitting around people that might sneeze at any second? No, I'm telling you the truth. There is a cure. Praise God. And so you can go to Mexico. And Brazil, and India, these are places where leprosy exists, where leprosy is found. You can go there with confidence of a cure. We must give folks confidence of a cure. If they have no confidence of a cure, if they have no knowledge of the cure, then there's despondency, then you get settled in, you try to adjust where you're at, right? The first day you learn that you have AIDS, which there is no cure for, that has to be a horrific day, an unimaginable day, a day one will never forget. But 100 days in, 300 days in, things begin to change. You have known, as have I, certain famous folks who have contracted and been diagnosed with AIDS. And initially, it's shocking, it's horrifying, and you know, if there's any press, you know, often there's tears and certainly sad faces, and that's understandable. But now, although there's no cure, we have been able to give longevity to those who suffer with AIDS. And with that greater longevity, they kind of get settled in and go back to a certain level of normalcy while dying from AIDS, which I will put forth is not half the horror of leprosy. It's a horror, but it is not leprosy. We don't want folks to get comfortable with a diagnosis of AIDS, spiritually speaking, or get comfortable with a diagnosis of leprosy and say, oh, I'll get the cure eventually. Nor do we want them to become despondent and to adjust to it. Well, this is just our lot. Oh, well. I'll live in my leper's colony, or I'll live in a world that's increasingly accepting of those who are spiritually carrying AIDS or spiritually carrying herpes or whatnot. We must get committed to the cure and communicate the cure, proclaim the cure. This man somehow had heard that Jesus Christ was the cure, that he had the power of God to cure, absolute certain cure. He came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying, without question, quote, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can. You are omnipotent over disease. You can make me clean. Dear sinner, dear friend, hear me today. Jesus can make you clean. Dear cleaned one, saved one, hear me, Jesus can and will make your loved ones clean if they'll just get committed to the diagnosis and come to Jesus for the cure. He will make them clean. Committed to the diagnosis, committed to the cure. Look back to Romans 3:21. We left off in 3:20 saying that they are under sin. They are under sin. That no flesh can be justified by the deeds of the law. The deeds of the law, whatever law it might be, Old Testament Israel or some kind of New Testament perversion of the church, sacramental law, whatever. It's just like ointment on oozing leprous sores. It can't cure them. But Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God, that's the cure for leprosy. That is the end of sin. When the righteousness of God invades you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that leprous bacteria known as sin dies a certain death and never returns again. You are cured once for all and absolutely. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, it's apart from any ointment. It's apart from anything you can do. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, they witnessed to it, they testified to it. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How leprous are you? You are dead in sin and trespass. You are radically leprous. It's already killed you. But by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, you will spiritually be resurrected to newness of life. And this is even better than MDT. Because MDT can only arrest, it can only stop the disease where it's at, which is good news for physical leprosy, but our spiritual leprosy has already killed us. We are spiritually born dead in sin and trespass. We must be resurrected. And Jesus cures it all. He resurrects us and radically cleanses us. And our leprosy is washed away. Even the righteousness of God. How bad is our disease? Ointment won't fix it. You go to a priest, get a little ointment, won't fix it. Go to a bishop, get a little ointment, won't fix it. Go to a bishop and get some baptismal soap. I've got some in my office. It's priest approved, bishop approved, or no, it's priest approved, bishop tested, I forget which. It's a joke, the soap in my office is. But really, it's just as good as any priestly absolution. Any priestcraft sacrament, it's just as good. It's all ointment. It's all dead works. It cannot cure you because you are radically leprous. You are dead in it. You must be cured by a flooding, a transfusion of the perfect righteousness of God by grace through faith. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. All, red, black, yellow, white, Brazilian, Indian, African, European, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference. We're all dead in sin and trespass. Our spiritual leprosy has already killed us. And we can all, by the grace of God, be resurrected to newness of life through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Committed to the diagnosis, committed to the cure, committed to compassion, verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, He came to Jesus. He was committed to the diagnosis. He knew he was a leper. He came to Jesus. He implored Jesus. He kneeled down to Jesus. He said to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus was moved with compassion. The doctor has compassion. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and he touched him. He touched the leper. He touched he who has an incurable disease. He touched he who has oozing sores. He immediately touched him. He who was ostracized because of his leprosy. He who was not to be touched. He was to cry out, unclean, unclean, in order that people would not inadvertently touch him. He immediately touched. that's a spirit, or excuse me, a physical leper. And that's significant. But you and I, spiritual lepers, and don't miss that this physical leper was also a spiritual leper, a sinner like us. That's even more radical. It's far more radical that God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, would touch a sinner, would touch one who is so opposed to his holy, holy, holy nature. This is the radical compassion of God. This is the radical love of God that Jesus didn't just touch, but he came into this world to touch. He was born that he might touch that leper. He was born that he might touch you, lepers, and I. He was born that he might bear our iniquities on our behalf, that he might take upon himself our filthy, leprous disease on the cross and suffer the due penalty of God's wrath that was not due to him, but due to us. This is the compassion of Jesus. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." This is the amazing grace of God. This is what we sing about. This is what we rejoice in. This is what should give you pep in your step, joy in your heart, peace that surpasses understanding in a fallen, leprous, sin-affected world. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, "I am willing." Hear Jesus today. He is willing to cure you. He is willing to heal you. He is willing to resurrect you. He is willing to heal, cure, and resurrect all those whom you love, who don't yet realize, who have not yet committed themselves to the diagnosis, so they have not committed themselves to the cure, and thus they have not experienced Christ, who is committed to compassion. Will you commit yourself to compassion by committing yourself to delivering the truth about the diagnosis and committing yourself to delivering them the truth about the cure, the only, the singular cure, Christ Jesus, in order that they might experience the compassion of Jesus Christ, in order that he might be moved with compassion for them as they come to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing." Several years ago in downtown Portland, in Lloyd Center Mall, I was sharing the gospel with a gang-banging thug. The head of the gang, the man carrying the big fat roll of bills from all the drug deals that were going down right there when I was talking to him, drugs being sold in the Lloyd Center and all the cash coming to him. And the entire time I'm talking to him, he's pulling out this great big wad of money and folding another 20 on and putting his back in his pocket. And I'm bringing him the law. I'm exposing his sin and I'm calling him to repent. And I'm thinking this guy might kill me. But no, by the grace of God, the truth moved his heart. And I wasn't there to condemn him. I was there to plead with him that he would know that he's already condemned and that he might be saved. I was there to warn him of his diagnosis, that he might get committed to the diagnosis that is certain, in order that he might get committed to the cure. And you know what? Tears rolled down his face, a face with tattooed tears on it. Tears rolled down his face while he was surrounded by his gang-banging homies who would not respect this. And he said these words with a cracking voice, "Even me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm doing here right now? Do you know what that money in my pocket is from? Even me," with tears running down his face. I said, "Yes, even you, especially you. And I'm no better than you. You just need to repent. See the sin as God sees it. Get beneath the diagnosis. Get committed to the diagnosis. Get committed to the cure. Flee from the wrath to come. Be a gang-banging thug no more. Be part of the cure of these men and boys standing around you. As you turn to Christ, point them to Christ. Yes, you, even you, can be saved. Be saved. Don't die in your sins. I have hope that I'll see that man in heaven one day. For he heard. He understood. He wept. But he fell short of imploring and kneeling down and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean, at least before my eyes." If he does get committed to the cure, Jesus will be moved with compassion. He will stretch out his hands. He will touch that gangbanger. And he'll say to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And I was serious when I said to him, "I am no better. I am no better than the worst gangbanging, murderous thug on the street. I stand on equal ground as a fellow leper. If Jesus saved me, he can save him." Let us get committed to compassion, for Jesus is committed to compassion. Let us carry forth by God's grace the law that it would make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The law that it would convert them. It is perfect. It converts the soul. It informs them of the certain diagnosis. It is leprosy. In order that they get committed to the cure, in order that they come to Jesus, in order that they would experience the compassion of Jesus, that he could touch them and heal them. He is willing. He is willing. If we'll just go forth like doctors and deliver the bad news in order that we can deliver the good news that there is a certain cure. Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately it left. He was cleansed. Final point, committed to the king and his commands. Verse 43, this radically cleansed. He who was dead in sin and trespass is now alive. And he will forever be alive and have life abundant in Christ Jesus. He who was slowly dying in his sin is now alive in Christ. And you and I, while we might look like at some point that we're slowly dying and feel like, actually, we're getting closer to life, life like we've never known it. By his stripes we are healed. We are going to put off these bodies of death, these sin-affected bodies, whatever ailments and injuries, whatever bangs and boo-boos we pick up through life, they're all going to be put aside. We will have resurrected glorious bodies in which no curse shall reign. Committed to the king and his commands. Committed to the king and his commands. Verse 43. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Why? Well, because he had a plan. And his plan was this: not to be king yet on earth, but to be king of men and women's hearts, to begin his spiritual kingdom. He did not plan to begin his earthly kingdom at that time. And if everyone goes about saying all the glories of Jesus, they're going to come in a big crowd like they did in John 6 and want to make him earthly king then and there. And that wasn't the plan. His plan was to come and to prove who he was through his miracles, to prove out that he was the Savior, that he was God in flesh, but then to go and be crucified. But who crucifies the king? No one. And thus he had to suppress some of his glory. And he continually, this isn't a one-time incident, said, "You know, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." Now the leper did, which is bad. But what's crazier yet is you and I are commanded to tell everyone. And yet we claim to be saved from a greater leprosy than he was saved from. He was saved from physical leprosy. We are saved from spiritual leprosy. A far more serious and appalling condition than physical leprosy. I want you to look up some pictures of leprosy. Look at it and then think, that's me outside of Christ in the eyes of God. That's how I look. It's not pretty. But in Christ Jesus, you're born again. Born again. And in Christ Jesus, you have the cure and you can deliver it to others, and you're commanded to. And yet we do the opposite of the leper who was commanded not to. We have better news yet. Jesus just isn't the cure for physical leprosy. He's the cure for spiritual, eternal leprosy. And he commands us to herald it forth. And all too often we are silent. He strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest. Offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So go and keep the law. Go to the priest, offer up the things that he's commanded in order what? In order that you get back into society. Your leprosy's gone. Go to the priest will pronounce you clean. Obey the law, get back into the community." Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So they were coming to Jesus from every direction. He told him not to go. He went, and everyone's coming from every direction. He tells us to go. Let's go. Let's go with the diagnosis so that they can get committed to the diagnosis, so they can get committed to the cure, so they can experience the salvation of Jesus. Jesus, who is committed to compassion, who will receive them, who will touch them, who will cleanse them radically and resurrect them from sin and death. They came to him from every direction. Let us get committed to the King and his commands. The leper disobeyed. And you might be tempted to say, well, that, how thankful is that? I think it's providential disobedience. So we might look in the mirror and say, how thankful is that? We who are saved from a much worse leprosy, we who were a much horrific, much more terrible sight in the eyes of God than the worst case of physical leprosy. And we won't go and give the cure all too often. Committed to the King and his command. That command, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go and heal the leprous nations. Go to the leper colonies called cities. Go to the suffering masses. Make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. God has been so gracious to you and I. We spiritual lepers, he has given us the eternal cure. We have life and life abundant in Christ Jesus. We have every reason to jump and leap and praise God. We have every reason to have peace that surpasses understanding, joy that abounds. Every day you should wake up and look in the mirror and say, I'm going to heaven by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to hell, which is what I deserve. Because he bore my iniquities and he suffered the wrath I deserved on the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then fall on your knees and ask God to strengthen you that you might be his witness, that you might be a doctor and deliver the diagnosis so you can deliver the hope of the cure, the certain MDT, the multiple drug treatment, Jesus Christ. The certain cure for our leprous souls. Lepers, one and all. Let's pray. Father, I don't feel I've done justice to this text. I pray, Lord, you work it in our hearts and minds. That you, Lord, would make us committed to these glorious truths. Make us committed to our glorious Savior, the lover of our souls, he who did not come with some ointment, but with the balm of Gilead, the blood of the Lamb, the perfect righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, appropriated by grace through faith. We thank you for this glorious gospel, Lord, the cure of the leprous nations. The cure of little leprous boys and girls, men and women. Give us boldness in declaring the certain diagnosis and the glorious and certain cure that is Christ. That men and women would experience His compassion, His mercy, the cleansing of sin, the resurrection to life. I pray it in Jesus' name.